Before we begin our Torah study tonight, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week's Torah portion in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, presents to us a foundational condition of the world that we're living in. On one side, blessing, on the other side, curse. We're living in a world of contrast and a world of conflict. And what Scripture is speaking to us is the key to understanding how do we align ourselves with the blessings of God and how do we distance ourselves from the curses in life. And there's no magic here. There's no superstition here. There's something very foundational and relational, and it can be summed up in these words. The blessing, if you listen to the commanding words of the Lord your God that he gives to you. And the curse, if you don't listen to him and his commanding words, and if you turn aside from the way that the Lord gives us to follow after other gods that you have not known. Here is a foundational fact of life. And all of us who consider ourselves messianic, all of us who put our trust in Yeshua the Messiah, understand something about making that choice to follow God and to live our lives for him. The scripture is trying to make something that's very complex. It wants to make it very simple and clear so that we don't get lost in the complexities of life. God wants us to live a blessed life because he wants to be close to us. The blessings he wants to give may not be the blessings that you're asking for. The blessings that he wants to give may challenge you. The blessings that you need may be different than the blessings that you want. But the key to the blessings that are mentioned here is this: to be close with God and to stay close with him. To remember this, there are times when you will be tempted to wonder, where is God? You'll be tempted to go your own way to solve problems in a way that you know is not pleasing to the Lord. And this is to sober us up and to help us remember, stay close to the Lord. Keep our eyes on him. Remember him in times of blessing, in times of trouble. There was a period in my life where I was pressing into God because I had so many problems, so many difficulties I couldn't solve. And during one time of prayer, I felt the Holy Spirit said to me, "You draw close to me when you're in trouble." And I said, "Yes, I do." And he asked me a question: "Would you draw close to me if you weren't in trouble?" And I didn't know how to answer that question. And then I had this understanding. It was a sobering one. It was almost comical. It was so sobering. It was like the Lord was saying to my heart, if the only way you'll draw close to me is through trouble, I'll bless you with trouble. If that's what it takes. Now, of course, life is challenging, and so there will be troubles. Yeshua said, in this world you will have troubles. Did you know that's part of the reality? In this world you will have troubles. And he says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. So there is a victory and there is a hope that all of us have. It's really a messianic hope that one day all the troubles will be behind us and all the tears that we've shed and all the ones that we could imagine shedding will be behind us. And the only thing that will be in front of us is the joy of being full citizens in God's kingdom. And that is a yearning that we have, and it propels us forward, and it keeps us. It's a hope that we have. It is a key to understanding where God wants to go and to help us get our hearts in order for that. But as we're heading in that direction, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be difficulty. There are going to be challenges. The Lord is teaching us something, that the life of faith and faithfulness puts us on the side of God's blessing. As well, there's no blessing for us if we disregard and disrespect God. So we don't want to be promising to everybody in the world, oh, you can be blessed. Just ask for blessings. That's a faulty promise. The true promise is this: if you walk with God, you will be blessed. Even during challenging times, even during difficult times, you will be blessed. Now, there's one passage in the next chapter, but just one verse that caught my attention, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8. You will not do things the way we do them here today, where everyone does whatever in his own opinion seems right. The Lord is setting us up for something. He's saying, I know how you're operating right now. I know how you're thinking. I know how everyone's gotten used to doing what they think they want to do their own way. In the future, we're not going to do that. So it's fair warning, couldn't you say, from the Lord? Okay, now, I want to test you on your sense of past, present, and future. Based on when this was said, are you in the past of that or in the future of that time period? Future. If you said the past, you're in trouble. Okay. This was before. The today that's mentioned was before us. So we're living in the future from this point, right? Simple enough? So now we can understand it. Okay, we can't live the way we used to live. We can't live the way they used to live, where we did just what we wanted to do. Now, I just spent some time with 5 grandchildren, and it reminds me that as wonderful as they are, as much as I love being with them, they have a will of their own. And they want to do what they want to do. And sometimes the most important thing is that they stop trying to do what they want to do and just yield to what needs to be done. How many of you can relate to that? Not just with little kids, but with big kids. That person who you greet each morning in the mirror, who wants to go his own way, who wants to do her own thing, who wants God's blessing, who wants God in their pocket. Not as a lucky charm, but as, you know, the help. When I need help, I want to make sure my God's right there when I need him. Well, he wants to be the Lord. He wants you in his pocket. He doesn't want to be in your pocket. He wants to be able to guide us, and he wants us to remember there is a battle in life, and this is a visual image. There's a whole mountain of cursing. There's a whole mountain of blessing. And when you stand between those two mountains, the question is, which mountain do you want to go to? And which mountain do you want to go up? And which mountain do you want to base your life on? Because the world includes these two contrasts. Whenever we read about blessing and curses like this, it's important to remember that there's a foundational understanding of blessing and curses that comes from this, from understanding that we are sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah, and they were called to be a blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, we should all be familiar with this. God calls Abraham, and he tells Abraham that he's going to send him to a land that he doesn't know. That's the price of the blessing that God wants to give him. You have to go somewhere you don't know, you don't choose, you don't know what you're getting into. I will show you, says the Lord. And there's no negotiation. Abraham doesn't get to say, well, how about Miami? How about New York City? I hear they've got good pastrami there. There's no negotiation. God knows what he knows. And he's telling Abraham, the blessed life that I have for you comes at a price of faith and faithfulness and obedience. And you have to leave all that you know and all that's been foundational in order to go with me to what you don't know. Because you chose me, I get to choose where you go. I've been in a situation where the Lord wanted me to go places I didn't want to go. But I went. And I found joy in going, not in the place itself, but because there's joy in doing the will of the Lord. If we do it wholeheartedly. So if we want to please God, and that's why we're serving him, and then when we do serve him, we serve him wholeheartedly, we get blessing from that, and we can give blessing to other people as well. When we read about blessing and curses, we should remember about Abraham, because he was called by God to a life of trust and faithfulness. And with that trust and faithfulness, Abraham was called also to be a man of hope. Romans 4:18 says it this way, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Now, I like the New Living Translation. Even when there was no reason to hope, Abraham kept hoping. Let's say that together. I'll call out a phrase you repeated. Even when there was no reason to hope,
even when there was no reason to hope,
Abraham kept hoping. That's good. He was believing that he would become the father of many nations because God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. How many did he have? None. How many would he have? Nation's worth. Here's another translation. When there was nothing left to hope for, Abraham still hoped and believed. Let's say that, let me call it out to you. When there was nothing left to hope for, Abraham still hoped and believed. That's from Romans 4:18. And then just two verses later, Romans 4:20. I like this because Paul's writing it. And he's writing as apostle to the Gentiles. He's writing to the Romans. We could say he's writing to the Italians. We got some Italians, yeah? He's writing to them what he wants them to know. He wants them to know that now they belong to the lineage of Abraham. Now they need to take into their hearts all that Abraham had in his heart. Romans 4:20, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. Isn't that an incredible statement? Paul is saying Abraham was so faithful, he never wavered in his believing of God's promise. How would you like to be a person who has that kind of character, that kind of trust in God? You know, the way we do it is step by step. And when we're tempted to look at that curse of, you know, that going our own way mountain, we look really carefully and say, oh, that mountain, it may be a big mountain, it may even look good sometimes, but we know what it is. It's the mountain of cursing. It's not the mountain of blessing. When I disregard God, when I forget what he said, when I don't show respect to what he says he's going to do, it's turning to the wrong mountain. When I turn to the right mountain, you know what happens? I say, God's faithful. God is good. God is compassionate. God will get me through this. God has not abandoned me. He's with me. God will lead me. God will take me places that I can't take myself. He's going to do everything that he said, even more than I asked or imagined. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. So it's not only Paul who is saying, this is the kind of faith we want to live by. But Isaiah says much the same. Isaiah 41, verse 8. You Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. Can you imagine that God has friends? Not everyone who believes in God is a friend of God. You may be a child of God and not be a friend of God. Yeshua at one point said to his disciples, you have been servants, now you're my friends. I'm telling you what I'm doing and why. I can trust you with that. Now, it's not just Isaiah who sees it this way. Yaakov, James, sees it the same way. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. Wow. When God chose Abraham, he picked someone who he could be close with. When Yeshua called his disciples, he went up to a mountain, he fasted, he prayed, and he called to himself those he wanted to be with. God called Abraham, Yeshua called his disciples, he called the 12, and the way Yeshua called the disciples was very similar to the way God called Abraham. When Yeshua called his disciples, he was looking for people who he could be with and who he could send out with power and authority and who he could trust with his power and his authority. When God called Abraham, it was much the same way. He was looking for someone who wanted to be with him who he could be with, who would not be seduced by the world's power, but who would consider God's power the most awesome power of all. Who would do what God says even when it's not what he wants to do. And who would trust his whole hope and future to God. God was looking for someone who not only would trust him, but who would teach his children to trust him. Not only someone who would teach his children to trust him, but someone who would teach his children so that they would teach their children to trust him. Because God isn't looking just for a flash in the pan. He's not looking for one person who's just going to hang around for a little while, be spiffy and glamorous and famous, and then disappear. God is looking to raise up a nation. He's raising up Israel for a purpose, and not all of Israel wants to fulfill that purpose. The purpose is to show the love and the power of God on the face of this earth, not just to the Jewish people, but to the whole world. So God's looking for such people. Now, all of us, whether we were born Jewish or not, if we've joined ourselves with Messiah Yeshua, we've come into a relationship with the Jewish people, and we've come into a heritage that now belongs to us. You may be from another nation, but now you've joined in to a commonwealth, but not just a commonwealth, which is like a governmental structure. You've joined into a family, which is not governmental in those ways at all. It's just familial. It's the mishpocha of God, which is why the Holy Spirit cries out through you, Abba, Father, so that you would know that you're in a relationship with God. So your ancestors now, whoever they may have been, now are to include Abraham and Sarah. You're to remember that you come from them. And you're to remember that the faith that they had is the faith that you also are to have. And that faith aims towards God. That faith aims towards Messiah Yeshua. Now, every one of us who are messianic, we're called to live with our focus on the Lord, to keep looking upward and to keep looking forward. How do you say forward in Hebrew? Kadima. That's right. Kadima, forward. Proverbs 4:25 puts it this way. Look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you. If you want to go forward in life, you know what? You've got to aim forward. You can't just be looking backwards over your shoulder trying to figure out how life could have been. I'm a pretty good driver in reverse. To get out of my driveway every morning, I've got to sit in the car, shift into reverse, look in my rearview mirrors, and I don't turn my head around. I look in the mirrors, and I just do what I got to do to back up, and I've lived in that house for almost 10 years, and only once did I ever hit a tree going back. It was in the dark, and I was trying to do it the wrong way. I wasn't following my normal way, and I bumped into, you know, an oak this big. I was barely moving, but it still embarrassed me. It took me 3 days to tell my wife I ran into my own tree. But the rest of the time, I can back up. But I can tell you this. You don't want to go very far in reverse. And you don't want to go very fast in reverse, but you do want to have reverse in your gearbox. When it comes to life, it's important to be able to go forward. It's important to be able to back out of situations you need to get out of. That takes a little reversing. And then to go forward. But you can't just be looking backwards at the might have been, could have been, should have. We learn from that and we figure out where are we going to go. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. That's a proverb. It almost sounds so obvious. Why do we need to hear that? Because we have difficulty doing the obvious. Psalm 119, verse 15, talks about how we fix our attention. I'll study your commandments. So going back to Deuteronomy, here you've got God commanding us. He has the authority to command us. That's what we're recognizing about him. Psalm 119 talks about that response. I'll study your commandments. I will meditate on your precepts. I will reflect on your ways. I will take time to think about, to consider, to understand not just the simple and the obvious, but the implications of that. Hebrews 12:2 talks about another aspect of keeping that upward view and that forward view, fixing our eyes on Yeshua, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The New Living Translation I like. We do this by keeping our eyes on Yeshua. We keep our eyes on him. There may be two mountains out there. Pick which mountain you're going to keep focused on. It's the mountain of the Lord, the mountain of blessing. Yeshua said, there are two kinds of people who hear my word, those who hear my word and do my word, and those who hear my word and ignore it. The ones who do my word are like wise builders. Because when the storms come, they're like the ones who have built their house on rock. When the storms come, can you say that with me? When the storms come. We live in Florida. Do storms come? Every day at 4 o'clock. For the last few weeks, it seems. I've improved my weather apps, just so that you know. Now I'm getting warnings all the time. Thunderstorm. Record flooding. You know, like, record flooding. I'm not even in the flood zone. When the storms come, if you build your house on the rock, your house will stand. The rock, in Yeshua's telling, is the rock of hearing the word and doing the word, following through on the commandments and the teachings of the Lord. The foolish one is the one who builds on sand. Can you remember going to the beach during low tide as a kid and building, you know, with all of your heart and concentration, a beautiful sand castle of some sort? Not understanding that the tide will come in. And when it comes in, what will happen to your beautiful sand castle? That's right. The tide comes in, the sand castle goes out. And it disappears. When we build on sand, it's like that. When we build and our things are destroyed, we can analyze, well, what causes that? Yeshua says, it's like this. If you hear my word and you don't do it, you become foolish. And part of the foolishness is you fool yourself. You deceive yourself. That's what James was talking about. The one who looks into the mirror and then can't remember what he sees, or the one who examines himself and deceives himself, this is the one who hears but doesn't do the word. You see, the blessing comes because we're hearers and doers of the word. We're joining ourselves with the Lord because our God is interested in our character. He's interested in our faith. He's interested in our trust. He's interested in our lifestyle. He's the God of heaven and earth. Yeshua said these discomforting words. Why do you say, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? The challenge for us is not to be critics of the whole world. The whole world is easy to criticize. So many things are happening all around us that are faulty. Don't you agree? But if that's what we're doing, is just looking at what's falling down and is corrupt and has fallen down, and then we say, aha, look, we haven't done anything yet. The question is, can we build something that's faithful to God, that will endure not just through our lifetime, but through the lifetime of our children, our grandchildren, and beyond? Because if we don't do that, we're not really sons and daughters of Abraham. Because Abraham did build for generations. For generations and generations. And we have to learn how to think and act like our forefathers and foremothers who knew how to survive in hostile territory and knew how to bring light into places of darkness and knew how to change the spiritual atmosphere by their faithful living and not just their criticism. New Living Translation for Hebrews 12:2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Yeshua, the champion, who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The ESV says, looking to Yeshua, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Where does our faith come from? From him, by trusting him. Looking to his example, learning from his example. He endured the cross, despising the shame, but seeing beyond it to the joy that came from obedience. If you make your choices simply based on what's comfortable and easy, you will end up choosing things that are connected to the mountain of cursing. Because there are things, fair warning from Moses, you can't just keep doing things that you want to do that's right in your own eyes. It's got to change. That's a word for all of us. For all of us. For every one of us, we have to live with that word guiding us. It's not something that used to guide us, it guides us now. It's not just now, it's for tomorrow. It's for beyond that. And it will sustain us. It will help us. It will protect us. Well, we're living in exciting times, don't you think? Incredibly exciting times. And we're living in such times that there's great opportunity to be heard if we don't join in with the shouting voices, but we learn to speak in peaceful ways to people who are in trouble. You can't outshout all the shouters. I know that from having been with grandchildren for... You can't just get louder than them as a way of surviving. Sometimes you have to get quieter than them. It makes them nervous. It does. When you lower your voice and they have to come closer to hear you. Right. That's right. How many times do I have to do that? You, come here. Look at me. Look at my eyes. Don't turn your head when I'm talking to you. I have to say that 40, 50-year-olds sometimes. Yeah. No kidding. Not the same way. But 4 and 5 year olds. I've had a lot of adults aren't comfortable looking in the eye, you know, and having like straight conversation. And I think straight's the best. And there are times I'll say to someone, wait a minute, your head just turned. Turn back. Look at me. I'm smiling at you. Look at me. And I'm serious. There is such great opportunity when all of the foment and all of the fury and all of the noise subsides, and it does subside. There becomes moments of quiet when the solid voices of wisdom and character and truth can be heard. And there are times when God will only speak through such voices. And I believe we're called to be such voices and to be heard. So we have to be prepared to be heard. And we have to take the time to learn how to be heard by different kinds of people. Do you speak the same way to a 6-year-old that you do to a 60-year-old? Do you speak the same way about medicine to a doctor of medicine as you do to a 10-year-old who knows nothing about the science and the practice but does bleed the same way? Now, you speak differently. Do you speak differently to someone who's in panic than to someone who's already peaceful? You speak differently. Do you speak differently to someone who knows one language but not another one? Yes, you have to. We have to train ourselves to learn how to speak and be heard, if we want to have influence. Now, if all we want to do is gather a crowd that already agrees with us temporarily about some predictive cause we're involved in, that we'll forget what we were predicting when it doesn't happen. To me, that's not Abraham. That's not Israel. That's not discipleship with Yeshua. We have a greater impact that we can have. But we're going to have to learn how to do it. We're going to have to learn how to have impact. And we're going to have to learn how to connect with people who aren't accustomed to listening to folks like us, because we're not accustomed to talking to folks like them. And we can do it. But it'll be hard work. But I believe this. I believe that if we really have the hope of God and the faith of God and we live faithfully to Him, our lives will shine even in darkness, and the light will be useful to someone who's in trouble, who's groping in the darkness. So I want to encourage you. Great times are ahead through whatever trouble that's coming or whatever blessing that's coming. It doesn't have to be trouble. It could be blessing. Whatever's ahead, there are great opportunities. I'm for great opportunities. I'm like Abraham. I'm not wavering in my hope. I'm looking forward to what God says He wants to do. I encourage you to do the same. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that You give us models of hope and faith to follow. And we want to be strong like they were strong. And we want to continue like they continued, and we want to have an impact like they had an impact. Lord, give us ears to listen, to hear different voices. Give us ears that can communicate, and hearts that can communicate with many different kinds of people. And give us words of life from Messiah, words of truth from Your scriptures that will be useful to those we talk to. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? If you're alone, just shimmy over to some other place so you're not. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha, yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.